It's 31 right now, just after 12 noon. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's called Live and Local, and it's your connection to local music and more. And on today's program, we'll hear some music from, or at least representing some upcoming concerts. But for the first part of the show, we will talk with a few guests who are members of the Red Mask Players in Danville, producing The Diary of Anne Frank, which opened last week and continues this coming weekend and the following as well. It's at the Catherine Randolph Theater on North Vermilion in Danville, and we'll have a couple of scenes from that play as well. Stay tuned to Live and Local. A movement from Manuel Ponce's Concerto for guitar and orchestra. The guitarist here was Eduardo Fernandez, and he was joined by the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Enrique Garcia Asensio, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That music has absolutely nothing to do with the conversation we're going to have next, which is with three members of the cast of Red Mask Players' production in Danville of The Diary of Anne Frank. This is an adaptation by Wendy Kesselman from the original stage play by Goodrich and Hackett, whose first names, unfortunately, I don't know. I wasn't actually aware that there was a stage version of this, but I've noticed that a number of the theater companies, local theater companies in our area, have been doing some productions of other types of literature and turning them into stage pieces, which is a nice thing. So my guests on the program today are Gretchen Elliott, who is in the role of Mrs. Fandan. Alexis Grundell is in the title role of Anne Frank, and Rob Soderstrom is as a Peter Fandan, and all of them here in the studio with me. And I should say also that the production opened last weekend, will continue this weekend, the 22nd through the 24th, and then two remaining performances on the 29th and 30th at the Catherine Randolph Theater at 601 North Vermilion in Danville. Friday and Saturday performances are at 8, and the remaining Sunday matinee this coming Sunday is at 2 o'clock. So thanks all of you for driving over to Urbana and coming on the show today.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Alexis first to tell me how you managed to land the role of Anne Frank. I mean, that's a pretty good part.
The first night of the auditions, I actually kind of dressed up to fit the part, and I think that might have helped. I just went up there, did my best.
And you're how old?
12.
You go to
Northridge Middle School.
And you've been in other plays before?
I've been in one other Red Mask play, which was last fall, and I've been in two school musicals.
And what was the play for Red Mask, and what were the musicals?
Scheherazade for Red Mask, and for school it was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and Guys and Dolls.
And what role did you have in Charlie Brown?
I was in the ensemble for both of the musicals.
Okay, and what did you think of Guys and Dolls? I actually was involved in the production of that once.
It's a pretty interesting show. There's romance, humor.
Singing.
Yeah, of course.
Lots of singing. Yeah, that actually seems like... So this was a middle school production, both of those?
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls, I wouldn't have thought of as a middle school show, but I suppose one never knows. What did you know about Anne Frank before you auditioned for the role? Because you said you dressed the part.
My mom actually helped me during the dressing the part. Before auditions, I knew that she was a little 13-year-old girl who had to mature very quickly because she was living in an attic with her family, and they were all living in fear because they knew that if the Nazis ever found out about them, they would all be dead.
In short, yeah, that's
yeah,
about right.
Basically.
Yeah. And, you know, I always forget one aspect of this. This was in what city in what country?
It was in Amsterdam in Germany.
Holland,
yeah.
Yeah, the Netherlands. I always think of it as being in Germany, and I always forget that they were actually Dutch. Hence the name, in the case of the people they were staying with, Vandaan, V-A-N-D-A-A-N. But we only ever hear the name Anne Frank. Now, was she German, or was she also?
Well, actually, the Vandaans and the Franks were German, but the Vandaans moved to Holland in the Netherlands a lot earlier than the Franks did, and Mr. Frank and Mr. Vandaan ended up becoming business partners. And so through that relationship is how they decided to go into hiding together. And there's a very big misconception that they didn't know each other prior to going into hiding, but they did. They were actually very close families. And so for the stage production, of course, you've got to change kind of parts of history to make it work on stage. But they actually knew each other, and they spent a lot of time together, and the kids knew each other. So it wasn't this getting to know each other aspect when they the real families moved into the annex together.
What was the business that they had?
It was an import business, and they imported a lot of spices and things of that nature in and out of Holland.
So the Vandaans were not Jewish?
They were. They were Jewish, and obviously the Franks were too. But the misconception is that they didn't know each other when they first moved into the annex, because that's the way it's portrayed in the original diary, and that's the way it was portrayed on stage and in the movies.
So how did they manage to overlook the Vandaans? I mean, because they knew they lived in that house, right? That it was the Vandaan's home.
Well, they didn't overlook them. I mean, as far as, like, people knowing who they were and...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't haul them off to the camps.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Initially, anyway.
Yeah, they all got taken away at the exact same time. As a matter of fact, at the beginning, they were all kind of in the same camp. Was it Buchenwald? Or Belsen?
No.
Anyway, they were all together at the first camp, and then they kind of split everybody up. And Anne was actually in Buchenwald and Belsen and Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. So she was in three different camps during that time. Mrs. Frank and Mrs. Vandaan actually died during the death marches. Mm. And Anna and her sister died at Auschwitz.
What I was curious about was,
and this is at Auschwitz. Oh, sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Probably nobody's fact checking us, but
because Mr. Frank and I, we were both together, Pater and her father, and we were together, and before liberation, 3 days before liberation, there was a march, and Pater decided to go on the march, thinking he had a chance to live. Instead of staying with Mr. Frank. And he went off on the march and died in the march, and Mr. Frank lived.
He's the one who lived.
He is the only one who lived.
Out of all of that.
Yeah.
What I was curious about, and I said to you before we actually started talking about this, that I'm not sure I ever actually read this book somehow or another. It has escaped me just having heard about it over many, many years. But how was it that the authorities knew that Vandaans lived in the house?
They didn't know who was up there. They just knew that there were.
So the Vandaans were also in hiding.
Yes, with the Franks.
Ah, I see.
In the same annex.
Whose home was it then?
It was actually part of the business that they owned, and it was like an attic, a storage area for the business, and they knew that this time was coming. So Mr. Frank planned ahead and closed off the annex and started storing things away. And they actually went into hiding a lot sooner than they expected to, because they got a call-up notice and they thought that their daughter Margot was going to end up going to a camp. And so they went into hiding several weeks earlier than what they had expected to. because they thought Margot was going to be taken away.
So they made it look like nobody, like the shop wasn't, was, exactly. The shop was all closed up. And so,
yeah.
Okay, now I got the
picture. The business still ran down below them, and that's the reason why they had to be quiet from 8 a.m. to basically 6 p.m. every day, because if they used the WC or ran water, the pipes ran down through the business and people could hear them down there. So they had to basically live for over 2 years in complete silence until the workmen would leave at night.
Hmm. So how is Red Mask managing to replicate the idea of this enclosed hideaway?
Well, once we get on stage, we don't leave. Once we're on stage for the production, we don't leave the stage until the production is over. So we actually become the family that's locked up in the annex. And at the beginning, we, you know, like I said, the stage adaptation and the movie adaptation portray them as not knowing each other. So the first part of the show, it's like the Von Dons getting to know the Franks and, you know, their quirkiness and all the things that they do that they have to learn about each other. And then it shows later on in the show how much closer that they've gotten and how much they irritate each other. And, you know, so it's a very emotional and physically draining show to do, because you can't help but start to feel those feelings that they felt. So it really makes you feel the part that you're playing. Once you get on stage and you're in character, you're just that person and you're going through the same emotional feelings that they did.
Rob, it sounds like you've maybe done a little research on your part.
Yes. When I got the part, the director told us to look up our parts, and I got very interested. First thing I looked up is how he died and what happened to him, and then I started looking up into the religious views and how Jewish people do their ceremonies and like Hanukkah and stuff. I also changed the major that I want to be into theology, because I've been looking at religions and it changed my aspect.
Just through doing this, working on this
yes,
play.
Yes, just by working in this play. And I learned so much about the Jewish religion and how much it's actually different to my religion. And but it's all connected. And it just, to be playing this role is just an honor, because these people lived in fear. And they just probably had nightmares. I know there's a scene where Anna has a big nightmare about the Nazis taking her away, and it's just very emotional. There's a lot of a little bit of humor in it, because the families had to entertain themselves some way, and it shows family, how two families become pretty good friends, like Gretchen said, and how these families just, they know each other. I know there's a part in her diary that says that we know each other's lines so much that we would know what, we would finish their sentences, and mm-hmm. It's a very, very cool experience. I mean, intermission, while the people are talking, we're still on stage.
And, oh, really?
And we, it's very hard for us, because we're like, oh, wait, I see someone out there, but I'm still in character. And it's just, it's a very, very hard show and very, very emotional.
So during the intermission, you're essentially still being the family? And
we're still in the annex. Life goes on outside the annex, but for us, we're still there. So that's why I said, once we get on stage at the beginning of the show, we don't leave till the end.
Rob, you referred to Anna. Is that the pronunciation
yes.
of what we know as Anne Frank?
Yes.
It would be Anna Frank.
Anna,
yeah.
Pater, Otto, and...
Frank, the father.
Otto Frank. What's Mrs. Frank's name?
Ada.
Ada.
Edith. Ada Franck, Leafy, no.
Petronella.
Petronella.
This is like Franck. A quiz for everybody here to try to remember and, all
these Margot.
Margot.
Margot. Franck. Franck. It's hard because I'm used to saying Margot or Margot. It's Margot.
So do you try to do the German pronunciation during the in the production?
Somewhat. We kind of decided early on that either we're all going to go full tilt with the accent or we're not. And so we decided to focus on consonants. And so we try to get the consonants correctly enunciated so that we sound like we have a little bit of a accent, Dutch or German accent, but otherwise it sounds kind of kitschy, you know, if you get up
like
there and
Americans trying to be European, you know.
It's like when you see a production of My Fair Lady when everybody's supposed to be English and some people do it and some people don't. And some people do it badly and some people do it really well.
And that's kind of what we were worried about, you know, because some people can get accents and some people can't. And so we just decided to focus on the consonants, the beginning and ending consonants of the words.
Well, I know you brought along a couple of samples from the show. For those just tuning in, we're talking with three members of the cast of The Diary of Anne Frank, which is a production being given by the Red Mask Players in Danville. Two weekends of performances remaining at the Catherine Randolph Theater. Performances this Friday through Sunday, and then the following Friday and Saturday. The Friday and Saturday performances are at 8, and the Sunday matinee this coming Sunday is at 2. And if anybody wants information, you can go to the website, which is redmaskplayers.com, or the box office number for reservation is 442-5858. Our guests on Live and Local are Alexis Grundell in the role of Anne Frank, or Anna Frank. Rob Soderstrom is Peter Fondan, and Gretchen Elliott plays his mother in the production. So which scene would we like to do first?
Lexi and I are going to do a scene, which is probably one of the best known scenes with Shelley Winters from the show, from the movie, about her fur coat. Mrs. Von Dahn is very materialistic, and she brought this fur coat with her, and she just, you know, worships this fur coat. So it's a scene that Anna and Mrs. Von Dahn have together about the fur coat.
Yes, very materialistic because she brought a table on her way, walking all the way to the annex. And it was
in real life. In real life, yes. Her name was Von Pels in real life.
Yes.
And the three things that she brought with her that she felt were most important was a folding table, which was an antique from her family, her fur coat, and a chamber pot. So she was walking down the streets.
Yes.
Carrying all this stuff.
While the Franks had to put on as many clothes as possible.
Because they didn't want to be noticed for their baggage.
I took my cat.
So.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
the cat's name is Mushy.
Alexis Grundell is Anne Frank, and Gretchen Elliott, Mrs. Von Dahn. Where, by the way, does this come in the production?
It's in the second act.
Okay.
Act 2, scene 1, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, it's act 1, scene 2, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. May I try on your coat?
Well, that'll be all right. But be very careful with it. My father gave this to me the year before he died. He always bought me the best that money could buy.
Mrs. Von Dahn, did you have a lot of boyfriends before you were married?
Oh, the boys were always swarming around. For example, one summer we had a huge house in Hilversum. The boys would be swarming around like bees to a jam pot. And when I was 16, Well, anyway, we wore our skirts very short back then, and I had good-looking legs. I may not be as pretty as I used to be, but I still have my legs. Anyway, my father told me if any of those boys ever got fresh with me, you just say to him, "Remember, Mr. So-and-so, remember, I am a lady."
Remember, Mr. So-and-so, remember, I am a lady.
And Anna, if you want to write that down in your diary, you go right ahead, because it's all true.
Okay. Alexis Grundel, who I gather goes by Lexi.
Yes.
As Anne Frank, Anna Frank, and Gretchen Elliott as Mrs. Van Dahn from the Red Mask Players production of The Diary of Anne Frank. So, Lexi, have you read the book, The Diary?
Actually, I'm about halfway through it right now.
And there's actually, now, there is a book called The Diary of Anne Frank, and then there is The Diary. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. They're actually two different things.
Yeah. The Diary of Anne Frank is the original version that was put out. And it was quite edited because Mr. Frank was worried about what people would think about the things that went on that Anne wrote quite freely about. And then in the past 10 years, I believe they've put out the, I think it's actually called the explicit version, the whole story of Anne Frank. So it details everything that she had in her diary.
And some of it was probably extremely mundane, and some of it was maybe not so.
Yeah.
Lexi, what did you find particularly challenging about playing this part?
The hardest thing for me to do was maturing so quickly, because during that 2 years, it was a really hard lifestyle. She went from 13 to 15. She had to mature very quickly because you can't be childish in a particular, gosh, I can't remember the right word. Well, when you're stuck in an attic for 2 years, you're going to mature very quickly because you can't really be always playing games, always joking around. You are scared for your life when you're up there.
And you're already a year younger than she was in the first place.
Yes.
So what did you do to accomplish this great maturity in the space of a number of weeks of rehearsals?
I learned how to be able to control myself, to slow down, enunciate more. I had to stand up straighter for like maturity posture, and then stop acting like a child, basically. Like whenever in Act Two, Scene Three, there is actually a scene between her and Pater where she is no longer a child, and I'm just basically sitting on my bed, and I always get that urge to like swing my legs, but I can't do that because she's mature now.
And she doesn't swing her legs.
No.
Or at least that's an aspect of it that your director suggested, I gather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must admit that when Lexi first started with this show, you could definitely see that she was very green on the stage, even though she had done a few shows. But in adult theater, it's totally different. And this girl is amazing on the stage. I mean, she has no idea how much natural talent she really has. And it was difficult for her to get the aspect of maturing very quickly on stage. But she does it, and she does it amazingly.
How does the relationship develop between you other two? And we're going to have a scene between Peter and Anna in just a second here.
Well, the relationship at first is very
like awkward. It's
as
really
my
awkward.
Part, I am very annoyed with her because I've never had a girl, and I really it actually is hard for me to relate in real life because I only have brothers. And stuff, and it's just like, it's like, well, it wouldn't be hard, but it's just like, I see her and I go, and I'm living with her, and I get annoyed because she gets in my clothes, she wants to go feed my cat, and I don't want her in my room, and all the family thinks that we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and stuff, but in the end, I know that they become very close because the cat somehow disappears, and we don't know, and to this day, no one really knows. There's only theories about how the cat disappeared, but when the cat disappeared, that's where Anna and I's relationship started to become, because we come together, because we were able to talk to each other, and I needed someone to talk to as... And so did Anna.
Sort of over the loss of the cat.
Yes.
Are you, is Peter is older than
Yes.
Anna, right?
I'm 16 when I go into the annex, and I'm 18 when I go to the concentration.
So about 3 years apart. And you're, how old are you actually?
I'm actually 16. Yes.
So that's just about right, as it turns out. What scene do we have between your two characters?
We have Act 2, Scene 4, the last scene in Act 2.
The night scene.
Are there two acts in the show or three?
Three.
Three acts.
There are three.
So do you want to set this up for us a little bit? What has led up to whatever you're going to do?
Well, right now, Mrs. Von Dawn is actually they know she's going. We're going on a date, and she's being a mother. She's actually an overprotective mother, and she's very not happy. She's not happy at all. That's what she is, and she's complaining, wants her son to not
spend so much time with Anna, because she's like, she hardly ever gets to see him anymore because he's always with Anna.
Yes. But yet you're in this small space, mm-hmm. so you're going on a date in this small space.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's redefining the whole concept
it
of
is.
Life
yes.
in a small
Actually,
space.
I think you could do your...
That's all right.
Okay, here we go. This is Alexis Grundel is Anna Frank, and Rob Soderstrom, Peter Fondon from the Red Mask Players production of The Diary of Anne Frank.
Aren't they awful? Aren't they impossible? Treating us as if we're still in the nursery.
Don't let it bother you. It doesn't bother me.
I suppose you can't really blame them. They think back to what they were like at our age. They don't realize how much more advanced we are. When I think what wonderful discussions we've had, Pater. Oh, I forgot. I was going to bring you some more pictures.
These are fine. Thanks.
Wouldn't you like some more? Meep just brought me some new ones.
Maybe later.
I remember when I got that one. I won it. I bet Yopi that I could eat 5 ice cream cones. We'd all been playing ping pong at her house. We used to have heavenly times. We'd finish up with ice cream at the Delphi or the Oasis where Jews were allowed. There'd always be a lot of boys. We'd laugh and joke. I'd like to go back to it for a few days, or even a week, but I know I'd be bored to death after that. I think more seriously about life now. I want to become a journalist, or something. I love to write. What are you going to do?
I think I might go off someplace. Work on a farm or something. Some job that doesn't take much brains.
You shouldn't talk that way. You've got the most awful inferiority complex.
I know I'm not smart.
That's not true. You're a million times better than I am in tons of things. Arithmetic and algebra and... Well, you're a million times better than I am in algebra. You like Margot, don't you? Right from the start, you liked her. Liked her much better than me.
Oh, I don't know.
It's all right. Everyone feels that way. Margot's so good. She's sweet and bright and beautiful, and I'm not.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no, I'm not. I know quite well that I am not a beauty. I never have been and never shall be.
I don't agree at all. I think you're pretty.
That's not true.
And another thing, you've changed. From at first, I mean...
I have?
I used to think you were awful noisy.
And what do you think now, Peter? How have I changed?
Well... You're quieter.
I'm glad you don't just hate me.
I never said that.
I bet when you get out of here, you'll never think of me again.
That's crazy.
When you get back with all of your friends, you're going to say... Now, what did I ever see in that Mrs. Quack Quack?
I haven't got any friends.
Oh, Peter, of course you have. Everyone has friends.
No, not me. I don't want any. I get along all right without them.
Does that mean you can get along without me, Peter? I think of myself as your friend.
No, if they were all like you, it'd be different.
Peter, did you ever kiss a girl?
Yes, once.
That picture's crooked. Was she pretty?
Huh?
The girl that you kissed.
Oh, I don't know. I was blindfolded. It was a party, one of those kissing games.
Oh, I don't suppose that really counts, does it?
It didn't with me.
I've been kissed twice. Once, a man I'd never met before kissed me on the cheek when he picked me up off the ice and I was crying. The other was Mr. Kufius, a friend of Father's, who kissed my hand. You wouldn't say those counted, would you?
I wouldn't.
I know almost for certain that Margot would never kiss a man unless she was engaged to them. And I'm sure Mother never touched a man before Pim. But I don't know. Things are so different now. What do you think? Do you think a girl shouldn't kiss anyone unless she's engaged to them or something? It's so hard to know what to do when here we are with the whole world falling around our ears. And you think, well, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and what do you think?
I suppose it depends on the girl. Some girls, anything they do is wrong, but others, well, it wouldn't necessarily be wrong with them. I've always thought that when two people...
9 o'clock. I have to go.
That's right.
Good night.
And that's the end of the date.
Yes.
Such close. As it was. There's a couple of surprises later. We don't want to give all of it away.
Of course not. Well, that was Alexis Grundell in the role of Anne Frank, and Rob Soderstrom as Peter Van Dahn. Gretchen Elliott as Mrs. Van Dahn. And, of course, those who know the story at all or who ever heard the story know what happens to all but the father, who died fairly recently, didn't he? I remember reading this. Or is he still around?
No, he passed away
in the 70s.
In the 70s.
Was it that long ago?
It was Meep Geese.
Meep Geese died January 11th.
And she was the
like
secretary.
This past January 11th?
Just recently. Yes. She was 100 years old.
Wow.
And she was one of the ones that helped set up the annex for them and helped bring food to them and got the ration books
the
to
secretary.
Help feed them. Yes. And so she was intricately involved in their lives while they were in the annex. And then after they were taken away to the concentration camps, she's actually the one that found and kept Anna's diary safe.
She never read it, though, because she knew that if she found anything about her, that it was evidence that she was involved with them.
Right. So
she had to protect herself just a bit. Well, I really appreciate your taking the time to come over here, and I wish you the best in the remaining run.
Thank you.
And reminding listeners that, first of all, this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the Red Mask Players are giving the remaining performances of the Diary of Anne Frank this Friday through Sunday, the 22nd through the 24th, and then Friday and Saturday, the 20th, 29th, and 30th. I can't read this typing here. I just can't seem to speak it right. And the Friday-Saturday performances are both at 8 o'clock. This Sunday matinee is at 2 o'clock, and the show is at the Catherine Randall Theater, 601 North Vermilion in Danville. For tickets, you can phone the box office there. It's 442-5858. That's in the 217 area. And for more information about Red Mask Players and upcoming performances, it's redmaskplayers.com.
Just as a quick side note, our Sunday show is almost completely sold out. So if they want to get tickets for that, they need to call as soon as possible. And we still have ample seating on the 29th and the 30th. So.
Okay, thanks for that information so people can plan accordingly.
Yes.
Well, best of luck on the rest of the show, and thanks again.
Thank you.
And we have a few musical excerpts coming up from... at least representing some other performances happening in our area. On tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll talk with Steve Larson, who is music director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. They are performing this Saturday night, and other guests as well. Stay tuned to Live and Local. This is music from William Walton's production of Shakespeare's play Henry V at Sepasticalia called The Death of Falstaff. That's music by William Walton, played here by the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, led by Andrew Litton, a movement from a suite from his incidental music to Henry V. That was the Passacaglia known as The Death of Falstaff. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'll have a forecast for you coming up right around 1 o'clock, and we'll have news headlines at a minute past 1. Julie Amacher has classical music for you at 1:06. And among the performances this weekend in our listening area, the Illinois Chamber Orchestra is going to be performing twice, Friday night at St. Agnes Church in Springfield and Saturday night at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Both performances begin at 7:30, and it's a program of English suites and serenades conducted by music director Karen Lynn Deal, and that includes a suite from Henry Purcell's Abdelazar, or The Moor's Revenge, and here are some samples.